be in the Lord's house tonight. I'm glad I'm saved and in the family of God. And I appreciate the week He's given us thus far, and I thank God for what He's done in our hearts and what He's done in my heart. I appreciate that from God. But a wonderful time of fellowship with friends, and I guess I'd go ahead and say family. That's what I feel like sometimes. So we are a part of the family, the born-again crowd. I thank God for that.
Amen.
We're looking here in the book of Habakkuk tonight. Give you some time to find it. It's kind of one of those hidden minor prophet books. Habakkuk chapter 3. And I want to read just a verse of Scripture tonight. I don't know if I'll preach, but I do want to give you what God's put on my heart. Try to be diligent in that. And we'll just kind of follow Him in the service tonight. Habakkuk chapter 3. I also want to look into the New Testament, several different places, and we'll just follow the Lord's leading on that. One of the texts that I do want to deal with tonight is in the book of Jude, which is just prior to the book of Revelation. So you can flip there if you'd like to and hold your finger there. I'll be reading that as well. The Bible says in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, if you found it and want to stand with us for the reading of God's Word, I would welcome you to Habakkuk chapter 3. I want to read a verse or two here. Here's what he says. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard Thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive Thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy.
Yes.
I'm going to read quickly here in the book of Jude, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Looking tonight on Lord, lead us again to Shigionoth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for your grace and mercy, Lord. You've been so kind this week, Lord, thus far. I thank you for that. Lord, one more time, God, we do look to you. Lord, confessing, God, before you in this congregation, I have no power within myself, God, tonight. Lord, no ability, Lord. Unless that you come and anoint, Lord, and bring glory to yourself tonight, I pray. Help your body, I pray, Lord. I pray you speak to every heart, Lord, in your house tonight, God. Manifest yourself, I pray, Lord. I pray you speak to the heart of sinners that might be here tonight, God. You'd manifest yourself to them, God. Begin to shine the light of the gospel on their heart, that they might, Lord, see their need of a Savior. I pray that you would begin to draw them with the cords of love from Calvary's side. Ask you tonight, God, would you please, Lord, manifest yourself to the church. God, you've been good to us this week to help us to grow. Well, we're looking to you one more time, God. Well, we can do nothing without you, Lord, tonight. I pray you'd help the church now. Help the saints of God. Encourage us, Lord, as we look into this matter tonight, God. How needful in our day. Lord, help us, I pray, Father, looking to you now. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Thank you for praying. You can be seated. Habakkuk chapter 3 is, let me just talk to you a little about Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a prophet in a day in which the people had turned from God. It's open and blatant sin all around. And God had used his prophet to preach truth and righteousness. It was Habakkuk that come out with a statement inspired by God that said, the just shall live by faith. And Paul then records that in two of his epistles, in Romans and also in Galatians. And what an amazing truth to know that this man was walking by faith. And I'm amazed to understand in our day that it is a walk of faith. It is a walk day by day, one foot in front of the other, by faith, following God. But I want to remind you today that as Christians, we have duty. We have responsibility. All throughout these epistles, Paul, our preacher to the Gentiles, even in the Gospels, as we take instruction, practical instruction from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he mentions the word prayer over and over and over again. Speaking about demonic forces, he said, this kind, he said, cannot come out but by prayer and fasting. So we know that his disciples that walked with him day in, day out, these 12 men that were glued to his side, so to speak, every single day. I was amazed that when they had an opportunity to ask the Lord God Himself for instruction, they didn't say, Lord, teach us how to preach. Lord, teach us how to teach, Lord. But they had an overwhelming desire to follow in the footsteps of God in the flesh and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. In other words, the prayer life of Jesus while he walked on this earth was so remarkable and so impactable that these men have a desire to want to pray like Jesus prays. There was something about the prayer life of God. It wasn't the fact that he just maybe said words, but I believe it was maybe the manner or the way that he prayed. I want you to know now there that we are filled with the Holy Ghost. He dwells on the inside. So we understand there's the dwelling of the Holy Ghost that's been born again by God. He dwells on the inside. Then I also believe the Scripture is about being filled with the Holy Ghost. To where that it's filled all the way to the top. And where you're fully controlled by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God. You're pliable in His hands like clay in the potter. You're willing to bend and move and do whatever He bids you to do. And so this being in control of the Holy Spirit, this prayer life is, as Jude spoke about there in that portion of Scripture there in verse 20, he said, but ye, because he's talking about all sorts of wrong, all sorts of debauchery and sin. And then he says, but ye. And so he said, okay, I'm going to leave that crowd aside. Now I'm talking to you, the born again, the church, the family, the bride of Christ. He says this, he says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and to eternal life. And so now we begin to see a glimpse truly of this praying and specifically praying in the Holy Ghost. Not so much where we just bow and say a quick little prayer, but it's a connection with God. I remember as just a young man, I was living in Eufaula, Alabama. I just left everything that I owned. And I was doing my best to follow God. I felt like and I knew that God had arrested and apprehended my life. And I wanted desperately to find out for what reason, for what purpose did God save me. I began to seek God and it led me to this place in Eufaula, Alabama. While I was there, there was a camp meeting that took place. It was a wonderful time. God done many great works through preaching and through the Spirit of God in my heart during that week of those times of meetings. One particular time after service, they had a fellowship at a family's house, Earl and Jean Gilmore. And I was there enjoying the fellowship. We had our little snacks and refreshments, and as I was there, standing next to a doorway, listening to some of the older men talk, I was one that just enjoyed hearing what some of the wiser men had to say. I just liked to listen like a little sponge and soak up some things that, you know, they had been down the road further than I had ever been. And I was sitting there, and there's this dear friend of mine that had become a dear friend, a preacher, a man of God. His name was Clay Cordell. He walked past me, and he stopped and kind of looked at me. He said, Andrew, right? And I said, yes, sir. He said, I want to ask you a question. And I said, yeah, go ahead. And he said, do you pray? My initial response was, yes. Yes, I pray. And he looked at me in these most intriguing, piercing eyes.
And he said, no, that's not what I asked you. I said, do you pray? And shamefully, I bowed my head and I said, no, sir, I don't. And he said, if I was a young man, I would find my place, find somewhere in the woods, find a closet, find somewhere, and I would begin to commune and pray and talk to God. Well, that put something on the inside of me. It stirred. It planted a seed in my heart. I thought, well, I wonder what he's talking about. I mean, you know, I tried to pray, and sometimes it was good, sometimes it wasn't, you know. But he said, find a place and go meet with God. I was staying in a little single-wide trailer next to a coon dog lot. Now, I remember one particular day, I said, you know what, I'm going to go find me a place. I walked out the trailer door. I could see it now. I walked down a little flight of steps. Walked across that field, passed through some pines, crossed a rickety barbed wire fence, walked downhill, crossed a little dry creek bed. There was a small little hump in the small little almost kind of like a little hill, like a little ridge line. And I got up on the little ridge line and I just walked it all the way to where it stopped. And when I kind of got to where it ended, it seemed like there was a little opening in all the brush, and it just kind of came out, and there was just enough space for me to kneel down and talk to God. And I began to take my hands, and I pawed away a little spot to pray. Got it all cleared out, and I said, well, this is where I'm going to meet with you, Lord. This is where I'm going to begin to pray and talk to you. And I remember coming the first time, and I said, God, I really don't know a whole lot about this thing, but Lord, I want to do my best. I want to commune with you, God. I want to talk to you. I want to commune with you. And Lord, I want you to do a work on in here, God. I want you to fill me up, God, and tell me what to do. And I want to do my best to do it, Lord. But God, in the light of His Word, I have a question about the Word of God. I take my Bible out there and I'd open it up and say, God, I don't understand this, Lord. You'll have to show me, God. And God would open up heaven and begin to just shed light on my heart and show me from the Word of God truths that have helped me and established me in the faith today. I'm going to tell you today, dear friend, what we need is a place of prayer. Here we see that prayer is not so much about us pulling God down, but about God pulling us up. Prayer is 90% listening than it is speaking. God wants to talk to us. And see, this prayer here, he says, in praying in the Holy Ghost, he said, building up yourselves. So prayer's for us. Something that's going to help us. Because it helps our faith. It keeps ourselves in the love of God. And it keeps us looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So now we see some amazing examples in the Word of God. And prayer is an amazing thing. Prayer, specifically praying in the Holy Ghost, getting in your prayer closet and laying in there and calling on God and saying, God, I want to talk to you. Lord, I want to commune with you. And there's seemingly levels in prayer. There's times where it seemingly just gets pretty good. You're able to get your burden of prayer off. You're able to commune with God. Yes. Then there's times it's as if God invites you to prayer. Amen. It's like He comes and says, I want to talk to you now. Right. It's like He called Peter, James, and John to the mountain to pray. Called them aside. Then there's times where it seems like there is just some other realm you get into. And I believe the Scripture is speaking about it here in Habakkuk chapter 3. It says, a prayer of Habakkuk upon Shigionoth. We read this word Shigionoth right off the bat. It seems like it's a mountain. Some sort of place, a hill. Maybe some sort of geographic location. We've read all throughout the Old Testament, even on the New Testament, where the men would go upon the mount to pray. Or so-and-so was upon Mount Carmel. So-and-so was upon Gilgal. I began to look and try to find where is this place at on the map and realize it was not a place. But it was a place. But it wasn't on a physical map. Shigionoth in the Scriptures is referring to a level of worship. It's mentioned twice in the Word of God here and also in the book of Psalms chapter 7. And it's a place of prayer. It's a place where prayer turns to worship. It's a place where time ceased to exist. It's a place where I believe Paul said, I was caught up in the third heavens. It's a place where you can lay with God. You can, where all the cares of the world fade away. It's a place where David, and though he was in trouble, where the enemy had pursued him time and time again, a place where Saul was trying to hunt him down, where he could retreat to, a place to where that where he could find the will of God, find light to walk into. And we know that faith is not walking in the dark. It's not a blind step into the darkness. Faith is always walking into the light. When God shines light, when God gives direction, that's faith walking out into it. Abraham was the father of faith. And so we know that Abraham didn't just get up one day and decide, I think I'll go to a new land. No, it started with God. Faith always starts with God. So now God come to Abraham. God spoke to Abraham and said, get you out of this land. I'm going to show you a place. I'm going to give it to you for inheritance. I'm going to make a nation out of you. And so then he walks in the light he's been given from God by faith. What a wonderful truth that is. Have many of you ever heard of the Keswick revivals over in England? I mean, just absolutely amazing. I mean, just incredible moving of the Spirit of God every day, for days and weeks and months. The power of God seemingly reigned in on this place. It can be drawn back to some folks praying. It can be moved again to some where folks got a hold of God. There's a dear man I often read after from time to time. And he said he'd been there all week, and he had seemingly got to the place of Shiganoff day after day after day, into a place where he physically was exhausted and couldn't pray. He said he was leaving one night and saw some people out in the field praying in the power of God, engulfed in the Holy Ghost. And he said, Lord, I want to get there one more time. And he said he walked out in the field and he tried to pray. He said, God, I have no physical strength left. And then he said it was like the Holy Ghost said, well, why don't you just access what you've already got by faith? And so he began to ponder and to think, step out into the light what he'd already been given by God. And he said in a few moments there he was with everybody else worshiping God, praying in the Holy Ghost and enjoying the good things of God. We've heard the old timers of old speak about crossing into Canaan land, getting the grapes, bringing it back across the river for other folks. I understand and thank God for that. Thank God for the example men passed on. That's put a desire in our hearts to pray and to lay with God. But I want to remind you today that Canaan land is ours for the taking. The Spirit-filled life is not somewhere you just go and visit for a few hours and then come back and dwell in the desert. Dear friend, a Spirit-filled life is what God has ordained for every born-again child of God to walk into. And so we can enjoy grapes and figs all year long. And thank God for it. There is a land that flows with milk and with honey. The Bible tells us concerning prayer in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1. An amazing scripture. Paul is giving his heart here. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. An amazing way to pray in the Holy Ghost is pray the Word of God. Pray scripturally. And so we can always pray right by praying for Israel, saying, God, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God, help your people. God, shine light on them. God, protect them. God, I'm sure there are folks over there tonight fearful of rockets coming across the border. We can lay in our prayer place and say, God, I'm praying according to your word. Lord, touch. And if your heart's callous and cold, seemingly like you can't get a prayer through, dear friend, pray scripturally. God will open it up for you. He'll begin to pull the curtain back. And then I'm amazed of how God can use that. And prayer oftentimes is a battle. It is a fight. I believe in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible explains of this. He's speaking about warfare, spiritual warfare. After now that this Christian soldier has been covered and decked out, has been ordained with all these pieces of armor, the breastplate, the loins, the shoes, the helmet, the sword, the shield. He then says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And so now we see that this intercessory prayer. These folks there at Ephesus were praying for the man of God. As Paul left, he was going into uncharted waters. He was going into lands that had never heard the gospel, the name of Jesus, mentioned. And so the church is there that he had God had planted, and he had left organized and functioning in the Spirit of God. As we spoke last night, the same instructions were to all seven churches, and he that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And so the Spirit of God is inside the church of God. It's a living, breathing organism. And so now then, as these saints of God would get together, and they would huddle together, and they would lay in there, and they would pray, asking God to speak and help part the waters for Paul. God lay in there. I want to just go ahead and say thank God for every one of you that's prayed and laid in there for us. There's been times where it's been dangerous. There's been times where it's been difficult. But I want to say thank God. I know there have been some folks laid in prayer for me. I want to say thank God. Now there's been one or two. There's been a few, thank God, that I know has been in their prayer place saying, oh God, help our friend today, Lord. Be with him, God. God's knocked the mosquitoes off. I never got sick this one time. God's kept me safe, thank God, in the storms and all the troubles and waves. His good grace has kept me safe thus far. There's a good desire in my heart to want to go tonight, thank God. I'm looking forward to going one more time and pressing in the place where the gospel's not been proclaimed and not been preached, and lift my voice and proclaim the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Such a blessing, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
Now, you got those Rough Riders over there. I was with Teddy, Roosevelt, and the rest of them. They was looking to take this hill one day. They said, well, think we'll just... They said, it's suicide. That we're outgunned. We're outnumbered. One old man said, he said, I'll go. He said, tomorrow morning around 10 o'clock. They all thought it was strange, but since he was the bravest one to lead the battle, they said, well, go ahead. That'll be fine. So at 10 o'clock, he grabbed the flag, grabbed his rifle. Then he led them Rough Riders straight up the hill that day. They overtook the tower. They destroyed the enemy. And then when it was all said and done, the captain come to him and said, man, what was so special about 10 o'clock? He said, I got a praying mama back home. And she walks in the closet about 10 o'clock. He said, I know, thank God. Can you imagine God was just swatting the bullets away? And God was, sending angels in to make a path, thank God. I say, thank God. Hey, we're all in this thing together. It may not be your place to be on the field, but dear friend, God can allow you to have a part in this thing. To lay in there and pray. Lay in there and get a hold of God. Get the hold of Shiganoff upon a place where God's Spirit is so real and so powerful and so alive. He'll fill your heart, dear friend. Give you power to walk today with. Fill your heart with the love of God. Oh, my mercy, dear friend. God can fill you up where you're falling over, thank God. It'll add in your service. It'll help the man of God. Oh, thank God for praying for your preacher. Praying for the pastor who knows all the spiritual battles he faces when he tries to lead a service, when he tries to open the book and preach. Pray that God will help his mind throughout the week to keep the devils of hell away and keep his mind in the Word of God, his heart on the love of God. Dear friend, prayer is a powerful, powerful tool God's dropped off in our box. Now, in the book of Matthew, of course, we know it was speaking that it was the gospel. It's the kingdom gospel, and it's one of some wonderful truths in this kingdom book. And we look at Matthew chapter 6, and so this is after they said, "Teach us how to pray, Lord." And he said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." There's some order to this prayer. I want you to know that the first three partitions that he's made to God, he's speaking specifically about God. They're all God-oriented. What does he say? He says, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And he says, "Thy kingdom come." He says, "Hallowed be thy name." Those are all godly pensions. See, God has got a divine order. God has got a divine will. He's not going to veer off of that. God's going to do what he's going to do from before the foundation of the world. Everything's ticking along just the way he wants it to. And so now then, there's been that age-old question. Well, if God's going to do what he's always going to do, then why should we pray for God to do something? Why can't we just recline back and not do anything? Well, number one, prayer, like I said, we said earlier in the beginning, it's for us. Prayer keeps us right with God. Prayer keeps us in the love of God. Prayer keeps us and our hearts in the shape in a way where that we can be used and pliable in God's hands and in his work, in his divine will. Now then, we see here that, so then why then should we pray? Because God will let us in on what he is doing. God will let us in on what he's doing. Why? Because when we pray, James said, the reason that you pray and don't get things because you pray amiss. You're praying what you want. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're praying in the Spirit of God. In other words, the Spirit is leading you what to pray. In other words, now, I don't come to God with a big list and say, "Okay, God, here it is. I need this, 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 and this." It don't work that way. If you want to get to the place of Shiganoff, it's coming to God, it's confessing our sins, it's being open with God, and it's following the Spirit of God in prayer. He might lead us to pray for a brother over here, and we're praying for him. And then in that prayer, God leads us over yonder. And so God is allowing us to partake in what he's doing. And so now then, maybe we've prayed for someone that's been sick in the church, for an example. We've prayed for Sister So-and-so. She's been sick for so long, and God's led us into prayer to pray for her. And we've poured our heart out. God's given us a burden for her, and we're praying for her. And when she comes to the house of God, and she testifies, "God's been good to me. He's touched my sick body." You can guarantee that there's something going on the inside of you. God's allowed you to partake in what he done in her life. That's a wonderful, wonderful truth to partake in. Notice these last pensions are manly pensions. It says, "Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. We forgive our debtors. Lead us not temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine
is the kingdom and the power. Here it is. Here's why we pray. And the glory. Forever. Amen. Why do we pray? Because God gets glory to Himself. God gets glory when there's a praying saint down on his knees. Down on my knees, I got a prayer through. That old song, man, what a blessing. Just praying saint. God gets glory to Himself. Now, I'm amazed how that we think sometimes the big stature, maybe in Christendom, is these famed old preachers. I know we've heard the name Spurgeon. And I know y'all read after him. Men quote after him. Men study him and all these things. Every time he mounted a pulpit, he had some couple hundred men under the platform praying.
Right.
We don't even know what their names are.
That's right.
But God knows who their name is. I like to say a prayer warrior is more or less like a secret agent. Everybody knows what the president's name is.
Yeah.
But can you name one secret agent of all the previous presidents? We can't. But man, I mean, they're in there, up close to him. They know what's going on. I mean, every prayer is prayed according to the Word of God. I want to tell you, I want to give you hope right here. This helps me to want to pray again. This helps me to want to go to my prayer place and pray again. Revelation chapter 5. What does it say in verse number 8? And when they had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints.
Amen.
So now then, every prayer that the saint of God has laid in there and said, God, supplicate, means to beg, to plead, an earnest cry. God, they've cried out everything. God, help, Lord. Be with us, God. God, have your name here. Raise up a people, God. As Habakkuk prayed, he said, revive thy works, God. Revive yourself, Lord. Do it for yourself and your glory. Every prayer that's been prayed, God has sealed off in a bottle. And these bottles are up and under the altar of God as odors. In other words, it's a picture of the Old Testament tabernacle. When they would walk into the brazen, the altar of incense, and they would take those incensual oils and sprinkle them on that altar of incense, and the odor would fill the house. I want you to imagine this now. I've got some dear saints in my family. God, give me a godly heritage. A praying papaw and a praying mamaw. I remember coming home sometimes from the field, from tired on the road. I would come in, and there she'd be sitting in that old blue wingback chair. I'd lay my head over in her lap, and just in a moment's notice, the presence of God would be on us, and she'd say, I've been praying for you. But I want to remind you something right now. Although she's done passed away, she's done crossed the river, I want to remind you that there's those prayers still coming up before God. Watch over my grandson. Take care of him, God. Fill him with your power. It's an eternal investment, dear friend, that has dividends that keep on paying out. Dear friend, there's a desire in my heart tonight to get back down to the hotel room, to dig me a little spot in the corner, bury my face in a pillow, and pray to God. Say, God, do it again in our day. Send your power one more time. Be led of the power and the Spirit of God to pray and fast. And fasting is like throwing gasoline on prayer. I mean, it's just like, talk about praying. Just push the plate away 2 or 3 times. Oh, my, bless your heart, dear friend. I'm going to tell you, prayer is where it's at. Saint of God, find a place and pray. I mean, this world will be crumbled at its foundations, but a sure
founded, steady, saint of God, will not be budged, will not be moved in this world, because he's a man of prayer, thank God. Lay in there and pray with God.
Amen.
Lay in there and pray. Ask God to help your family. Ask God to do it again. God will answer prayer. Dear friend, he'll do it for his glory's sake. He'll let you in on what he's going to do in your life. What a wonderful thing to ponder on.
Yes, it is.
Prayer. Remember, I was teaching Wani how to pray. I got to looking for him one day. I was trying to help him, you know, trying to say, Wani, you know, we come to God like, you know. Of course, you ain't got to teach him a whole lot because same Spirit teaches you, teaches them. That's a blessing.
Yes.
So that they're good and born again, you just, God will teach them. He will do it. Makes me nervous sometimes to hear folks all this training going on.
Yes, sir.
I just like the Holy Ghost doing it.
That's right.
So now Wani, I was looking for him one day, and I said, I wonder, because we was in a different area. We traveled a different area together. I got to looking for him. I said, I wonder where he's going to. And I thought, I bet he's out, because he saw this, we stayed with this one pastor, and he had a big cat. Wani had never seen a cat before, except Jaguar and stuff like that. So he loved this cat. He'd pick it up and play with it and pull on it and rub it and rough it up, you know. I said, Wani, it's going to bite you. It's going to scratch you. Put the cat down. Anyway, so I was trying to find him one day. And I thought, I bet he's out there messing with that cat. I went there and looked. The cat's right there. I said, well, he's out here. And so, well, I wonder if he walked up the street somewhere. I looked upon him. I said, well, Lord, I said, you be with him. I don't want him to, maybe put it if he gets lost. And I walked back in the house. And I walked over to wash my hands at the kitchen. And I looked out the window in the backyard. There he was, sitting out there on a log. With his Bible open. Communion, talking with God.
Yes.
I want to tell you, dear friend, when you're praying, there's folks who are watching you. Folks that are noticing a difference. I know a young man right now tonight. He's 37 years old. He's got a family. He's got a little boy growing up and a little girl. I think she's 9 or 10. The boy's, I think, 7 or 8. He's married. He's a preacher. I'll be honest with you, he's not real smart. He can't read that good. I can drive to his house tonight. Go down his driveway. I'm by his dog lot. He's got a little path. You walk that path out behind you, pass by a big oak tree. On back in there, it kind of just winds back in through there. And right in the middle of some holly trees, he's got a little chair sitting out there. And two little warm spots in the ground where his knees fit. Praise. Lays with God. His told me one time, he said, I was beginning to get worried about my boy. He said, as I was worried about him, he said, one day I was going to pray. He said, I just had a heavy heart. So I walked up there to go pray. He said, when I got down my place, he said, I was calling out to God and was weeping and crying, saying, God, help, Lord, help my family, God. He said, I heard something coming in the leaves. He said, I didn't pay it no mind. He said, sometimes a dog comes up there. I didn't pay it no mind. He said, he finished praying on through. He said, when he finished praying, he said, look around. He said, this little boy out there behind him. Bowed up. Bent over the old log. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, prayer makes a difference. I want to do this, preacher. I want to try to stay with God tonight. I wonder tonight, maybe God's dealt with your heart in some way, shape, or form. I just want to give you just a brief response to God. I'm going to ask the piano player to come if he would, please. And we'll stand tonight all over the house. God's